Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Today, we got a fun show planned ahead for you. We have multiple guests coming on the show, including former host Tony Sereno returning for the show. It's not Tony Tuesday. We've got some special things lined up there. We also have my colleague and friend from DKPittsburghSports.com, Hunter Homestek. Hunter got a chance to be on the conference call with Derek Watt, recently signed Steelers fullback, and wrote an article about him on DKPittsburghSports.com. Tony and I get to question him about it and how Derek Watt was introducing himself to the Pittsburgh media. Then it's time for a new segment, Fantasy Draft Friday, where Hunter, Tony, and I will get to pick through and make our own legendary Steelers front sevens based off of a fantasy draft format. At the end of it, you, the Locked On listeners, get to vote on who won the contest by joining the Facebook group Locked On Steelers and voting on the poll that we posted there today. Let's get into it. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. It's Friday. We made it, y'all. So today we got a special day. We just don't have one guest. We got two on the show. We all got Tony Sereno, former co-host, rejoining us again. We had him on for Tony Tuesdays all the time. Now he's here for Tony Fridays because we're going to do a new segment. But also introducing Hunter Homestek, my buddy, my comrade, my colleague. He covers the Pittsburgh Steelers and the University of Pittsburgh and does all number of things for DKPittsburghSports.com. Hunter, say hello to the listeners.
Hello, listeners. It's a pleasure to meet you. And even better to get introed by somebody like Carter. Dude, I need you to just be like my lifestyle hype man. Can you just be my Bruce Buffer like everywhere I go? Intro me.
In this corner, Homestek.
Love it. That was as good as I wanted it to be. Thank you, man.
All right. So today for the show, we're going to start off with some news, then we're going to go to our new Fantasy Draft Friday segment, but that's going to be later. So big news to start off the day. Hunter was on the case, as he usually is, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Derek Watt was speaking to the media via conference call. Hunter got to write a whole story up, and Derek was going into how happy and excited he was. Hunter, can you give us a readout on some of the important things that he was talking about today?
Yeah, for sure, man. I think first and foremost, what struck me was that he was very all businessy. You know how fun – he has a lot of fun with TJ and JJ on Twitter, of course. Yeah. They all kind of interact and, you know, play off each other and play off those brotherly vibes. And there was plenty of that on the conference call as well. Don't get me wrong. So many questions asked about that, and he was having a field day with it. But he kept circling back to things like just talking about how he's excited to show up for Steelers Nation and prove that he's not just a Watt brother. He's a very good football player. Like, he just wants to be respected as a good football player, whether that be at fullback, on special teams. He talked about playing tight end a little bit and how he's feeling more comfortable receiving the ball and out of those formations. So my readout on Derek Watt was that this guy's going to have a lot of fun. He's going to be loved just because you're a Watt. You know, automatically the Steelers Nation loves you. But I think he's gearing up to make more of an impact as a player than maybe people are expecting. So as a Steelers fan, I think that should maybe excite you, and it definitely seems like his mind's in the right place right now.
Hunter, did he give any indication as to, you know, what the coaching staff has in mind for him? You know, obviously he's going to come in and play special teams. We know that. But his role on the offense as a fullback, you talked about tight end a little bit. Did he give any indication as to where the coaching staff is thinking about playing him right now?
Yeah, he was definitely asked. The thing is that he said Mike Tomlin, he actually brought that up with Coach Tomlin already. And Coach Tomlin basically said, yeah, we'll get to that at a later date. Don't worry about it right now. So he basically just said, I don't know yet. I'm willing to discuss it, and I've let them know, you know, I'm open to do absolutely anything. Right now, it sounds like he's gearing up for basically a traditional fullback role. And so obviously, like you said, the special teams, he's got to fill in there big time. They're expecting big things from him on special teams. Which I thought that was kind of cool, too, because he didn't downplay a lot of people see special teams as like the throwaway, you know, oh, you're not good enough to actually play. You play special teams. But you can tell he takes actual pride in playing special teams and understands like, hey, I'm a fullback. You know, I don't see the field as much as these other guys. I got to make an impact every time I'm between the hash marks. I got to make an impact. So he understands the value of special teams. And I'm sure that's part of the reason why he's so damn good at it. But, yeah, man, as far as his role, he basically just said offense and special teams, but doesn't have anything defined at this time.
Now, Hunter, let's talk about the personal aspect.
of the call, because you wrote a lot about, and he talked a lot about, joining his brother TJ, which obviously is a huge storyline. And he also talked about their relationship with, of course, JJ Watt, the bigger brother that's still with the Houston Texans. What was the feel that you got from not just the excitement, but the sense that, like, man, like, how much he values this opportunity? Because this isn't the first time they played together, but to play in the pros, like, just he had to be over the moon. And, like, I don't know how as a player, he keeps his cool even just thinking about this.
Right. He most definitely was over the moon about it, man. You can definitely tell. And you hit on a really valuable point there, I think, is that they played together in high school and college already. They're close enough in age. I think TJ's 25 and Derek's 27, I want to say. And JJ's older at 31. So he was always old enough, 4 years apart from Derek, that they never actually got to play in high school or college together. So JJ was always kind of the odd brother out, which he is again right now, which is kind of funny how that works. So obviously Steelers Nation, you know, wants JJ to come, and he talked plenty about that. The side competition that I think is very fun is the favorite uncle for Derek's young boy, Logan, 13-month-old Logan. So TJ, obviously, this is like cheating for TJ, right? You can't have a favorite uncle competition when your dad is teammates with one of the uncles, man. Come on. JJ's got to be furious.
Hunter, the $3.5 million he took, you know, it's not a huge chunk of change, but for a core special teamer, it is, you know, it's a considerable amount of money. Did he give an indication, you know, were there other teams interested in him? Were the Steelers his first option? Any of that come through in the call?
Yeah, they definitely, you know, they're high up on his personal list. He would have loved to play for the Steelers and play with TJ. But he did say there were a couple teams in the mix. He didn't name names. He said, though, in being courted, so to speak, by these teams, he never got the feel that the Steelers were, like, really hardcore after him. He felt like, ah, the Steelers are kind of casting it out there. If he bites, he bites. If he doesn't, he doesn't. We'll move on. But it wasn't until he actually got signed that he realized how serious they were. And he said that even, you know, speaking to TJ, TJ never let on how hard they were actually after him. So it was after he was signed, he was like, yeah, dude, I couldn't tell you, but they wanted you bad. Like they wanted you to be their guy. So it's pretty clear that they do have plans for Derek. Like you said, that's a lot of money for a special teamer. But we just saw what Matakevich got up with the Bills, too, 2 years and $9 million. So yeah. People are valuing that. I don't know if they're expecting Dirty Red to play a lot, you know, middle linebacker as well. But he can obviously do that and has done that for the Steelers. But regardless, they obviously think Derek is going to be an impact player. Like you said, you don't just pay a pure special teams guy that kind of money. So that's going to be one of the really interesting things to track through camp if we get a camp this year.
Absolutely. Now, he has to know what, you know, through TJ, he has an idea of the organization, but what kind of sense did you get from his feel for the Steelers as an organization, knowing, you know, as fans know the Steelers, they're rough, they're tough, they're brutal. They hit you, they punch you in the mouth, and he's coming in to play fullback. Did he kind of demonstrate, like, did he talk about the aspect of that and how he knows he's probably going to have to fit that role and what his expectations are as far as that, not just for him, but for how the organization is going to treat him?
Oh, man, absolutely. And that's something that I said, like, I think I tweeted just something about how fans are just going to love this guy. Watt brother or not, they're going to love this guy. Because he had flashcards of, like, Pittsburgh buzzwords in front of him. He's like, hard nose, blue collar, tough. He was saying all the right things. You know what I mean? He knew exactly what he was getting into, and he was embracing it. But I think one of the really interesting things is that the Steelers have played the Chargers each of the past two seasons, so he's gotten that up-close-and-personal look at what they do and what they're about, especially playing them once at home and once on the road, and the road game still seemed like a home game for the Steelers. So he is fully aware of what Steelers Nation is all about, and he said as much. He was like, those fans, man, it's brutal to play at home whenever the Steelers are the away team, because he was saying how, you know, it basically felt like a home game for the Steelers. He was like, that sucked. I'm really pumped to play for that and have him on my side now. So, I mean, like I said, he is just saying and doing all the right things. He's setting himself up to be a fan favorite. I mean, fans loved Rosie Nix too. You know, fans will embrace a fullback. Dan Kreider, for sure, fans love that guy. if you're just a tough fullback who does your job, occasionally makes a splashy play or a cool play that makes a good highlight, they're going to just love this guy.
Shoot, they love backup offensive tackles. So, I mean, fans will get down for any of that. Okay, great stuff there, Hunter. We're going to take our first break on the show, and then we're going to get into Fantasy Draft Friday right after this. And we are back. Okay, everyone, it's Fantasy Draft Friday. So what does that mean? I know everyone's got questions. These two are going to have questions. But explaining the basic of the rules, I'm going to try this new segment we're doing here. We're going to have some fun. It's still the off season. I figured we can have some fun discussions and debates on Steelers history this way. We're going to do position groups over time. And each we're going to try to do every week. We're going to have three people, myself and two others, competing, and we're going to do a fantasy draft in snake order, as in whoever gets the third pick of the last round gets the first pick of the next round. And we're going to be able to pick through orders. Today, we're doing the Steelers front seven. So we are all going with the three of us are going to be tasked with seven picks. I'm going to give the order out in just a little bit. We're going to be tasked with seven picks, and we're going to explain our picks, and they can be anyone that's a linebacker or a defensive lineman or an edge rusher. Can't be any defensive backs, so no drafting of Troy Polamalu and bringing him down as a linebacker, none of those fancy things. But straight up, and you can make a 4-3 or a 3-4 or a 5-2, whatever you feel is best to make your front seven. So we're going to do that. And then in the next segment, we're going to explain our front seven, why it's the best, and make our case to you. And then you all, the Locked On listeners, are going to pick who won Fantasy Draft Friday via poll that will go over the weekend, and then we'll reveal the winner on the Monday show with Mock Draft Monday. So I assume you guys have questions. Tony has beforehand.
Oh, I do, Chris. All right. Okay. Let's start with this one, right? I'm gonna throw out a random player. Not that he's like, you know, the third or fourth best defensive end in Steeler history, but let's talk about Brenston Buckner. Brenston Buckner did not play for the Steelers for very long. He was a Panther. That's where people are we considering a player's whole career or just his time on the Steelers?
You have to talk about their time on the Steelers.
Only.
Yes.
Well, that changes a list. Hold on. By the way, Brenston Buckner, by the way, not the third best defensive end. Not the third best defensive end. Not even close. Now there's another player that needs to move down. Oof.
I love how prepared you are. All right, Carter, let me ask you about this one.
Sure, Hunter.
Are we grading these dudes based on potential as well for a current player, like Devin Bush? If we project him to be, you know, an all-pro perennial, but he only has 1 year of footage, you know, how should we grade a guy like that?
That's up to you. So here's the thing. It's not us judging. You know, we're making the picks that we think will appease to the Locked On listeners who ride at dawn.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Your job, if you think Devin Bush is the pick and you think you can convince the listeners that he's better than Jack Lambert or James Ferrier or anyone else, then you go ahead and pick him, but just be prepared to defend that pick against our two lists.
For sure. Okay. I love it.
Okay. And then, Chris, do you think Duck would make a better inside linebacker or edge rusher?
Clap the living piss out of you. Like.
All right, I'm out of questions. Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. Hunter, you good?
Sorry, I muted my mic because I was typing. Yeah, I'm all good, man. We're good.
All right. So I have a random.org. I always use this to do fantasy drafts. We're going to hit the randomizer, and it says. Okay. This sucks. Hunter's first, Tony is second, I am third.
Woo! All right. Oh. I like it.
At least we know it wasn't rigged. That randomizer was not brought to you by the New England Patriots.
It was not brought to you by or me. okay, so let me do this set up.
Okay.
So we're picking seven
players, and we can do 4-3 or 3-4.
Or 3-4. And it can change midway, but just be prepared. Whoever you pick, you got to stick with. So right. If you're setting up your 4-3 and then your guy gets taken, you got to adjust. So that's the part of the game.
I'm going to apologize to the listeners. If you hear my keyboard, it's very loud. I'm going to be typing through this to keep track of where we are. So I apologize in advance.
That is fine. Hunter, you have the first overall pick of the first Fantasy Draft Friday. Who is your selection for the Steelers all-time front seven?
It is Jarvis Jones, Carter. Put it in. No, I'm kidding.
Locked in.
That's locked in. Yeah, you can't do that. No, that's locked in. All right, Jarvis Jones. This is a good pick. It's a good pick. Hunter just, I think he just left the call. He's
See you guys. This has been real. This has been fun. I hate you guys, but
So obviously, right,
sorry. Yeah, it's Mean Joe Green. How can you can't not pick Mean Joe Green first? I don't even need to defend or debate this one. That's who it is.
You do not. So there you go. That's number one. Tony.
Pick. Yeah.
You're up.
Well, you know, the interesting thing when we were putting this together is as I looked over, you know, the Steelers have, I think we can all agree, like the best defensive history of any team in the league. So picking seven players out of that, even in the front seven, shouldn't be that difficult. And yet, as I looked through the Steelers' history, it is surprising that there are certain positions as I started to put together, you know, not that I have a big board that I'm looking at right now, but if I did have a big board that I was looking at right now, it is interesting that there are certain positions that are not super deep. So I'm going to pass on a couple players that I think should probably go second, and I'm going to take LC Greenwood.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Sticking with the steel curtain is Tony Sereno. He gets himself an edge rusher there. That's an interesting pick.
Indeed. I like it. I like where your head's at.
All right, so now I get the next two picks. Since we're going in snake order, I am going to pick Jack Ham.
Okay. Good pick.
And then I'm going to pick. Oh, this is tough.
Chris, are you on the so you're on the Jack Ham was a better player than Jack Lambert train? Because I know a lot of Steelers fans love Lambert because of the personality that he was.
Absolutely, I am on this train.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Ham's coverage statistics, I think he still has the most interceptions of any linebacker in NFL history.
And
one thing that when you look at his tape, Jack Ham was never out of place. Like he was always there and he was always in your face and he was always covering somebody or he's hitting somebody. Lambert, he kind of had the benefit of the steel curtain to play that middle linebacker spot and be aggressive and be free and roam. Whereas Ham was more the guy like, hey, I'm going to go out here. I'm going to cover this and I'm going to cover that. So that's why I'm picking him there. I'm doing him there. And I got to go with.
It's already tough. It's only your second pick.
Yeah. Shoot. Screw it. I'm going James Harrison. Getting him.
All right. Not a bad choice.
Get my pass first.
All right. Well, I think that there is a massive drop off after the next player at this position. So being that you got Ham, I'm going to take Lambert.
Okay. Tony.
Yeah.
Jack Lambert with the fifth pick of the draft. We are into the second round here.
Not that there are bad inside linebackers, but I think, you know, after Lambert, I don't think you have another real Hall of Famer in there.
Sure.
That's a very good point. All
right.
Hunter, you're up next.
Right on. Oh, twice. Yep. I'm going to take the other man to have his jersey number retired and stack up my D-line with Ernie Stautner.
I didn't think you'd go with that.
It's a good pick.
Dang it. I intentionally left him alone. I thought you would leave him alone. This had nothing to do with Dale chastising you for not picking him earlier.
Obviously not. Not influenced by Dale Lally at all. If there's one thing I do, Carter, I learn. I take my lumps. I take my lumps and I say, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Shouldn't have done that. All right, so now you had the sixth pick. Right. So now you get the seventh pick, which is the first pick of the third round.
For sure. Dude, I think I'm just going to do it. I'm going to just call it. This is crazy to me. I'm just loading up my D-line. I'm doing it. Cam Hayward.
Put it in.
Wow.
Put it in.
That's actually early for me.
A versatile D-line. I like him because he can play tackle or end, so I'm not sure how I'm going yet. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a 3-4 or 4-3 right now. Excuse me.
I'm not sure either. I'm not sure either on mine, but I'm gonna maybe make my choice right now. I'm going to take Casey Hampton.
That's who I was between with Hayward.
Yeah, Casey is very good. as a nose tackle.
Right, right. He just doesn't have the flexibility.
Right. The problem is I took LC Green. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it in the next segment. About
yeah, right.
Well, we're gonna after this, we're going to compile everything, and then we'll make our arguments in the last segment.
Yeah.
All right, so now I get picks 9 and 10 here, finishing out the third round. Okay. Ooh, pressure's on, Carter. What we got here? I've got edge rusher. I've got my cover linebacker. Man, there's so much pressure here, guys. Like, I don't know what to do. You know what? Screw it. I'm going. I'm filling out my linebacker core. James Ferrier, get over here.
Really? Ferrier? Yeah. Okay, that's early for Ferrier to me. But that's okay. It's a good pick. Because he's the next best inside linebacker, I felt like.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah. And once again, I think there's another dip here after Ferrier.
Right.
Nope.
I get 2 picks.
Oh, you got another pick. That's right. Woo-hoo-hoo. Good. I'm glad I almost said my pick.
Yo,
I can't be doing that.
Okay, now. We'll go with. Dang it, this is tough. This is really tough. Because I want to pick this guy, but I don't want to let you guys sneak in because you got Stotner. Son of a bitch.
Well, I'll say right now, if someone's trying to build a 3-4, you're going to have a hell of a time picking a nose tackle now, I feel like.
No, I won't, because I know who I got there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Bite me.
Okay.
all right, let's go shoot poopy. I keep going back and forth about this guy. Screw it. Kevin Green, give it to me.
Whoa, Kevin Green. Hold on. I thought wait, are you talking about Kevin Green just as a Steeler?
Yeah.
Didn't he only play like 2 or 3 years for the Steelers?
Yeah, and he was phenomenal.
He was very good. He was very good. But, okay. All right. Kevin Green off the board. Did not see that coming. All right. I don't know how so there are 3 edge rushers that I basically have clumped together because I really couldn't separate the 3 of them. I'm just going to take my favorite player out of the 3 of them. I'm going to take Greg Lloyd.
That was the one I was struggling with him and Kevin, man.
Yeah.
2 of them were a nasty pair.
Yeah, all right,
Greg Lloyd is off the board to end the 4th round. Hunter, you get the next
girl.
Pick.
I'm going to roll with T.J. Watt.
Whoa!
Going for it. Projecting. That's why I asked the question at the beginning. I mean, his individual season's as good as almost anybody's in Steelers history. Can he do it again? We'll see. And I'm doubling up on the edge, guys. Right here, I'm taking Joey Porter for my other outside linebacker.
Okay.
Joey Porter 1-3
for me. Wait, what'd you say?
What's that?
What'd you say, Tony?
I was saying Joey Porter was one of those 3 guys I was talking about. It's Greg Lloyd, Joey Porter, and 1 other guy is like the 3 that I had a hard time separating as far as who was like better out of the 3.
Okay. I thought you said Joey Porter was overrated, and I was about to be like, yo,
A lot of people think that he was cut too early. I feel like the Steelers made the right decision there. I was surprised he resurrected his career in Miami, but I felt like his play on the field at Pittsburgh at the end, you know, made him a decent cut. I know he resurrected his career in Miami.
Okay. Dope. That's dope. All right, you're up next, Tony.
I'm up next. Okay. Yeah. I haven't thought about this pick. All right. Am I gonna commit to a 4-3? Probably.
Okay.
Probably. I'm going to take – there's so many good players left.
Yeah, there are.
Maybe I don't. If I went 3-4 now, I would have to play LC Greenwood as a D end in a 3-4. Not ideal.
Maybe.
Not ideal. I'm going to take Aaron Smith.
Damn it.
All right.
defensive
end. Who doesn't love Aaron Smith? Come
on. Aaron Smith's great. He wasn't like a household name, but he is very good.
All right, that adjusts my strategy. Okay. So this is the end of the fifth round. So after this, we only got two more rounds,
fellas. Two picks left.
You took Aaron Smith off the board. It's an interesting pick there. Do I go with this guy? Well, I get two picks, so I can be a little aggressive here. All right, screw it. I'm going Ryan Shazier.
Wow.
Killing me, Carter. Killing me.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. And doubling up, getting Ernie Holmes.
Okay, Ernie Holmes is the other player I was thinking about.
Yeah, for sure.
I almost took Ernie Holmes instead of Aaron Smith.
Same. I'm already loaded there, or I would have as well.
Yeah. See, the difference maker in my mind for a lot of these players is, did I see you play? Have I just seen your highlights, right? Like, I saw Aaron Smith play. I watched him play. It's tough to, especially a guy like Ernie Holmes, who wasn't, he wasn't a face of that defense.
For sure.
All right. Where am I going here?
Tony, this is your sixth pick, by the way.
Yes, it is. I think I'm switching to a 3-4, which means Aaron Smith is going to be a D end in my defense. Greg Lloyd's now an edge rusher. God, I would love to pair these two together, so I'm going to do it. I'm taking LaVon Kirkland.
Very good pick.
LaVon Kirkland alongside Jack Lambert in my 3-4. I love it.
Yeah, I kind of hate you right now.
Yep, that was a very good pick.
Hmm.
All right, Hunter, you get the last pick of the sixth round, and then you get the first pick of the last round.
Sure. I got to switch gears. I got to be ready to defend this one, too, I'm sure, but I'm doing it. Javon Hargrave.
Whoa!
Wow! I love it. I love that pick. Now, impressive. It's insane, but I love it.
All right, that ends the sixth round.
Yeah, now I got my 4-3.
Yes.
I got to get somebody in the middle. So who is it? How crazy do I want to be? I will do it and take Devin Bush. I'll do it. I'll fall on that grenade for you guys to have fun with.
All right.
Team here. I like your team a lot, though.
Yeah, so do I. You're not doing shit against that defense.
All right, so my last pick is going to be an edge rusher.
Okay.
So I'm going to take... the third of the three players I was talking about, I'm going to take Jason Gilden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Often forgotten.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But he just statistically speaking, you look at his career in Pittsburgh, I mean, he's very good. 80 sacks. Yeah.
Wow.
I saw him in a Steelers game last year, too, and he looks like he could still play. One of those guys. One of those Mel Blount guys.
I mean, he is—he is ridiculous. Like I've seen, I remember seeing him. He's like still super jacked. I don't know how. I don't know how someone is that jacked at that age and like just walking around like they're normal. Jason Gill, good pick. I actually forgot to write that down because I was kind of peeved. But I get the last.
Yeah, the last pick. There's still some really good players. Some players that I thought would be taken have not been taken.
Yeah. Yeah. So, depends on how I want to play this. So, I got this guy. I got that guy. Dang it. I really hate you for taking Aaron Smith. He was one of the guys I wanted to sneak.
Sorry.
But
sorry.
That's fine. You can do that. We can do that some other way. Dang it. You're making me go through a long list.
What position are you looking at?
See, I'm looking at interior defensive line.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, there's one player that I wanted to take just because I loved him in the 90s, and that's Joel Steed.
No, yeah, he's on my list, but, I don't want to jump the gun there because, there's Joel Steed. There's also Kimo von Olhoffen.
Yep, yep. Brenston Buckner.
Devlin Hodges.
Devlin Hodges is still out there. Duck did not get taken.
100.
No, the beard is still out there.
Brett Kiesel's out there, but like, I just.
Currently, 160-pound Chris Hoke is still out there.
Yeah, that dude's ridiculously skinny now. Good for him.
Cowher used to call him Hokey.
Yes, he did.
There's also, I believe, a member of the 70s defensive line still out there.
For sure.
There is, but he's a defensive end.
Yeah, he was an end, yep.
You sons of snack cakes. Ah, man, because you took Hampton, you took Green, you took Hayward. I'm glad I got Ernie Holmes. Screw it. I'm taking chemo, and I'm breaking your quarterback's leg.
All right. I like it.
Awful.
All right, so we have all 7 rounds picked. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back, put our defenses together, and then we're going to make our arguments why you should pick us and who won the first Fantasy Draft Friday. All right, y'all, we're back. Okay, so you just heard us go through 7 rounds to pick our front 7 in the first Fantasy Draft Friday. We've got Hunter Halmstek and Tony Serino here. We're going to go through our picks and explain what our front 7 looks like and why we picked it the way we did and why we think it's great. Hunter, since you had the first pick, you lead off explaining your group.
For sure. I think my first overall pick doesn't really need an explanation. You take me, Joe Green, first and just set up the entirety of your defense from there. But what I really wanted to do here was build a 4-3. And looking at the Steelers, everybody knows them as kind of like a linebacker factory. I knew the linebackers were going to be super deep, so I wanted to attack the defensive line right off the bat just to take the best of the best there, prevent you other two heathens from getting at them. So I wanted to load up my D-line right away, knowing that there were enough super quality linebackers for me to just fill it out on the back end. So I got a 4-3 where pretty much every defensive lineman could really play tackle or end, which I really like. Javon Hargrave being the most pure defensive tackle, and he's going to be a 4-3 defensive tackle next year with the Eagles, and I think he's going to do really well there. So I like him in that role. I think the Eagles like him in that role and just paid him a lot of money to do it, so they're probably pretty smart. So I think that'll work just fine. Pair him next to Mean Joe, and then kick Ernie and Hayward out on the ends, and just good luck getting past those four passing or running the ball. You're not doing anything from there. So then after that, I just wanted pure speed and chaos and splash from my linebackers. So I went with TJ, Joey Porter, and Devin Bush in the middle, because Devin Bush, being young, you know, can still make some mistakes, have some mental lapses here and there. But one thing he is incredibly splashy and fast and athletic with a really high potential. So you put just these solid fundamental pieces around him and let him have fun. I think that's where he could super shine. So I would love to see him there. That's my 7.
Okay.
I like the way that you were thinking about that as far as the defensive line, because that was what I was getting at when we, you know, we started. And I started looking at, you know, especially defensive tackle for the Steelers over the years. Just, you know, it's not a hugely deep pick or a position, which I think, Chris, is why you ended up having to pick chemo there at the end, because it's tough. So that's why I took LC Greenwood off the top. And, you know, Greenwood's the guy. Look, I'm going to play Greenwood at an end in a 3-4. Probably not his best position, but the guy's 6'7", 245. So he can certainly play the role. Jack Lambert in the middle. What I love about my inside linebackers is that I've got Jack Lambert at inside linebacker, 6'4", 220. Okay, I mean, the guy was – I mean, today he would be I guess today all the inside linebackers are, you know, they are that body weight. But, you know, traditionally an undersized inside linebacker. But I've got him next to LeVon Kirkland, who, if you've never seen LeVon Kirkland play, please look up YouTube videos of LeVon Kirkland. This guy was 6 feet 275, incredible specimen at inside linebacker, and he could move. So I love my inside linebacker pairing. Obviously, on the edges, I got my favorite one, Mr. Rush the quarterback, Greg Lloyd. And then Jason Gilden, probably the most underrated edge rusher in Steeler history, because, you know, you've got guys like James Harrison at the position. You know, you've got the Joey Porters of the world. Now, TJ Watt got picked in this one. You know, I think, look, Jason Gilden, what he did over his career, 77 career sacks as a Steeler, 80 on his career total in the NFL, a very good edge rusher. And then my defensive line, look, Casey Hampton, as a pure nose tackle. He was, you know, he's a part of that 2008 defense. What, you know, him and Aaron Smith made that defensive line go. And I kept that together on my team. I'm very happy with the team I put together.
Okay. Okay. So y'all explained why y'all lost. Now I'm going to explain why I won. okay. So first of all, had to get Jack Ham, supreme cover linebacker, all-time interceptions at linebacker. He always was in the right spot, caught the ball, tipped the ball, read what other teams were doing, and he didn't even have to be in the middle of the defense. And then you pair him up with Ferrier. Ferrier is that other guy, always in the right spot, always flowing to the ball, making plays. The two of them at the same time calling things out, you wouldn't be able to navigate the middle of the field. They would be covering everything that got past them. They'd be shutting down every gap that opened up, even if you managed to beat my defensive line, which I'll get to here in a second. And then Ryan Shazier, just for the pure speed, the pure athleticism, and he was looking like one of the best cover linebackers in football before he got injured, and he was flying all over the place. You put those two great athletes that were also captains of their own defenses. Ryan Shazier was a captain. He was an X factor. You're not though. That is coverage right there. Like, my secondary doesn't have to even worry about the middle of the field. So that's how great that grouping is. And then the front four, I wanted to get aggressive on edge rushers that weren't necessarily 4-3 guys, but could play in the 4-3 and also help if they drop back to confuse you. So I got James Harrison, because he's a bad man. He has the interception, the longest.
Yeah, I'm not sure James Harrison could cover. Does he have any big plays where he was like a coverage linebacker?
You know what? I have to do some research on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. But it's an okay pick.
Does James Harrison have any big plays with interceptions?
Yeah, I'm none come off the top of my head, but it's a decent pick otherwise.
Tony has a point there, Carter. You need to look into that.
Yeah. Okay, I will do some research. Do better next time. James Harrison, I can't think for the life of me of any interceptions he made that returned for a touchdown in a Super Bowl for 100 yards or anything like that. But anyways, Kevin Green, guy, pure edge rusher, going to be bringing the heat. These guys are going to pinch. And the thing is that with the guys I have behind them, Shazier can come in and rush the passer. Ferrier had some success with that. Ham had some success with that. But in the middle, I wanted to get Ernie Holmes, I let you guys – like, I wasn't worried about Joe Green. I'm like, I can't get Joe Green with the third pick. I thought I might be able to sneak Stoutner in, but I absolutely wanted Ernie Holmes because that guy is evil. And I'm gonna explain this because through two stories. One was given to me by Doc Harris, who's the son of Franco Harris. And he told me about – this one's about Mean Joe. And he said there was one time – that Franco and Mean Joe and a few other the 70s Steelers were out at a restaurant, and that when they walked in, the owner like gave them the great seats and everything was awesome. And Mean Joe just said, "Hey, you know, we're good. Just don't ask for us for autographs, please." And so the owner's like, "Okay, that's fine." And then at the end, he tries to sneak some autographs with Franco, and Franco starts to sign. And he's like, "Yeah, sure, man. And like, you know, we're out here. We're the Steelers." And Joe Green's like, "We said no autographs. We're leaving." And he gets up and leaves. And then the guy looks at – and so Doc's telling me, like, what happened was is that Mean Joe, as he gets up and says, "We're leaving," Franco's like, "Sorry, man, I can't sign this or Joe will kill me." And so like, he gets up to leave, and he's like, Joe said it. And then, like, as the guy's trying to follow him out, like, "No, Franco, please." Joe Green looks back at the guy and says, "I said no autographs." And Franco Harris was so terrified of Joe Green that he didn't sign this man's stuff. So that's Joe Green. Now, if you've read their life's work, great book. I suggest you go check it out. But it chronicles several stories of the 70s Steelers. Joe Green had that kind of fear for Ernie Holmes. They said at parties, when everyone would be partying and celebrating, when Ernie Holmes got drunk, that they would not try to stop him. And that they said even Joe would just kind of back out of the way and let him lead the party until he drank himself to sleep. That's how bad of a man Ernie Holmes was, is that Joe Green, who strikes fear in the heart of men, he respected and feared Ernie Holmes. So having him in the middle of my defensive line, I like that. And Keenan Bonhoeffer, a very good defensive end for the Steelers. He could play an interior defensive line spot. And if your quarterback is doing well, guess what? He's going to need some chemotherapy.
Oh, my God. You went there.
You went back to the well. I said that joke before on the podcast, and you were like, ah, you know, you should probably cut that out. And now you've come back to it again.
Yeah.
That's how desperate he is to make that defensive line seem fearsome, Tony.
Well, listen, you know, if you take any, if you're taking a best front seven for the Steelers, I have a hard time putting Kimo Von Olaf on that defense. We should talk about some players who we didn't take, because Brett Kiesel, I think, is the one that's going to stand out to a lot of people, Chris, that you took. You took Kimo Von Olaf and over Brett Kiesel. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
And Dwight White. Dwight White, you know, did not get taken at all.
Now, the tough thing is that Dwight's an edge rusher. And I thought about him or Kevin Green, but Kevin Green in his time with the Steelers, he was part of that Blitzburg defense. And I thought with him and Harrison, that would be an interesting pair. I thought about Dwight, but I was like, you know what? Let's mix it up. Let's get Kevin Green. Plus, you know, I was thinking with, you know, with him, I just Dwight's the man. But like, if you look at like LC was the sack leader, even though they didn't record sacks, but everyone knew LC was the sack man of that of the Steel Curtain. So it's actually kind of crazy. Yeah, you're right. We didn't pick a member of the Steel Curtain. What were you guys thinking? I don't know what.
Andy Russell is out there as well.
The Steel Curtain is supposed to be just the front.
Oh, that's right, just the front four. Okay. Yeah.
But you're right. Andy Russell didn't get picked. And he's part of the original 4-3. And I guess if you chose super young Andy Russell, that would also make a lot of sense, because supposedly when he was younger, he flew around the ball a lot more.
Yeah. No, you know, reading about him was interesting. And I thought about the only reason I took LeVon Kirkland over Andy Russell is because I loved LeVon Kirkland, just like what he looked like as a player, right? The fact that he was this big guy at inside linebacker, something you will never see again probably in the NFL, the way the game is played now.
Yeah, not like right. Not really plays. Hunter, all right. You get first dibs. Why is yours better than everyone else's?
Because everything starts up front in football. We know this. The game is won in the trenches. And I have the best defensive line out of all y'all. And that's where I'm going to win with that. We got the only two Steelers to ever have their numbers retired. And yeah, we know there's some unofficial retired numbers. And we also know that retiring your number isn't the be-all, end-all of how good you were as a player. But it certainly means something with an institution with the Steelers that the two that they selected are both on my team. And then you still got Cam Hayward and Javon Hargrave, who Hargrave, I knew that was going to be kind of a funny pick. But I think in my 4-3, he makes so much sense. First of all, he's kind of large, in case you haven't noticed. They call him Wobble. Got a big old booty on him. He's got some size, but he can rush the he can still rush the passer. He's a great at rushing the pass. I almost cursed there. I don't know what the cursing rules are on Lock-On Steelers. So
we keep it down.
It's fluid okay. here.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're a Bengals fan, or if you're a Bengals host, I guess you know you get free reign on that.
We had
right.
The host dropped the F the Steelers on the show once, and I was like, whoa! But that was
yeah. So that's my case. I've got the best defensive line by far here. And that's where the tone's set. And like I said, the linebackers for the Steelers are so freaking deep. You could make a case. Like, I love Jason Gillen. I love LeVon Kirkland, Greg Lloyd, Shazier. Any of the linebackers you picked are undoubtedly incredible linebackers. But I think the difference is way more severe in going from the linemen versus the linebackers. So I think I've edged you guys there, and that makes the difference.
So here's my problem with your group. I love your defensive line. But your linebackers, remember, you're in a 4-3. So you pick Joey Porter, who's really a defensive end. Joey Porter's going to have a lot of problems covering out there. So I'm as a quarterback, I'm coming out and saying, hey, I'm going after that guy. And T.J. Watt has had some success in coverage, but he's also that he's asked to rush a whole lot. I might have tried to go with some better coverage guys. Now, Devin Bush, he's a rookie. It's tough to say where he's going to go. I like that you're hyping him up. But dear Locked On listeners, Hunter has made a grave mistake in picking. He has six edge rushers and one cover guy. That's great.
Yeah. Don't engage eight, dude. Listen, that's a valid defense.
Exactly what I'm saying. Your coverage doesn't matter when the quarterback is on his back. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So you're up next. Why is yours better than everyone else's?
Well, it's pretty simple. I have the only true Steeler team. Okay. Because when we look over at Hunter's list, he's got Javon Hargrave, who is going to play the majority of his career somewhere else, unless he comes back to the Steelers later in life. You know, he's an Eagle now, and he's going to be a member of another team for what's likely to be the majority of his career. And on your side, Chris, we've got Kevin Green, who's probably he was very good as a Steeler, no doubt about it. But his best days were probably outside of the Steeler organization. my list is full of Steelers who actually played for the Steelers and had their best time as the Steelers. Like I said, I love the heart of my defense. What I love so much about my defense is the comparison between Jack Lambert and LeVon Kirkland on the inside. I would love to watch my defense play. And like I said, I have the only complete Steeler team.
That pulls at the heartstrings, Tony. I'll give you that. First of all, that pulls at the heartstrings.
Locked On listeners, once again, we have a person that misses a point. Tony's argument is that you should pick him because all of his players played for the Steelers longer. That's not what determines who's the best. Why I'm the best, why my team would rock everyone out they socks, is that I got Ernie Holmes. And I've got Kim Wanohoffen. You're not running up the middle on these guys.
What? Kim Wanohoffen was a good player. He was a good player.
Listen.
He's by far, and I'm including Javon Hargrave and Devin Bush on this list, who are projections, right? Kim Wanohoffen is the worst player any of us picked.
Whoa!
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa! Yeah.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a big fact. You know that's a fact.
But see, here's the thing, is that you better hope that you can abuse Kimo Vonnegut as an offensive line. Because on one side, I've got Ernie Holmes and James Harrison. The two meanest sons of guns that you ever gonna meet. Like, no one steps to James Harrison. No one stepped to Ernie Holmes. You're not running there, and you're not trying to block them either. You got James Harrison, Mr. When he yells at Matt Castle and tells him, 16, I'm coming to get you because he can't stop me. He said that, and then he sacked him twice in a row and got two fumbles forced off of it. That's you mean to tell me that you're supposed to not pick that? And then with Ernie Holmes, like, who are you blocking on that side? You ain't blocking neither of them. Just give up. And then behind them, say you do sneak past them. Guess who's the best at filling in for someone missing their gap? James Ferrier. He's got it locked down, and he's good in covers. And I got Jack Ham, who's the best covered linebacker that you've ever seen. And I got Ryan Shazier just to fly all over the ball. Oh, you thought you was cool? Oh, guess what? I'm dropping back James Harrison. He'll have an interception for a touchdown. While then I rushed Ryan Shazier, and the offensive tackle was like, oh, my God, he was too fast. I can't touch him. And then either you throw the ball too quickly or you get sacked. And if you throw the ball too quickly, I got the interception. So I've got the guys that are pass rushers and cover guys. I've got the cover guys who are too good to do everything. So bite me about Kimo Vonnegut. He's going to do just fine right next to Ernie Holmes. People are going to be so scared of Ernie Holmes that he's only have to get one guy. And Kimo Vonnegut has shown when you only put one guy on him, he breaks your quarterback's leg. So imagine, we're all of our top seven are playing people, right? Your top seven, the Tom Brady is going to have his players hold Mean Joe and Hargrave and Ernie, and then he's going to pick at your linebackers. That's all he did, Hunter. That's all the time he did. He picked at the linebackers that couldn't cover. And then, Tony, you went with the 3-4. You don't go with the 3-4 against Tom Brady. Everyone knows that. That's why I went with the 4-3, and he's not picking on my cover linebackers. And
This is incorrect because, by the way, I have two of the best pass rushers in Steeler history in Greg Lloyd and Jason Gilden, and I can rush up the middle with LC Greenwood. So what Tom Brady doesn't like is pressure up the middle or pressure at all. I've got pressure coming around the edges, and if he tries to step up in the pocket, guess what? Meet LC Greenwood. I think I'll be just fine against Mr. Brady.
Do any of those players break Tom Brady's leg? I don't think so.
Here's my question for you, Carter. Is Ernie Holmes playing drunk or not? Because your story assumed that Ernie Holmes was terrifying mostly when he was drunk. So are we allowing them to play drunk?
Dude, no, he's terrifying at all times. Okay, another story. And you can actually see this one. If you look up, it's tough to find anymore. You got to go on YouTube. You can also probably Google this, but there was a guerrilla video, like these guys that were trying to be like 24/7 sports, but back in the 70s, with all access, they took some really professional grade camcorders for the 70s, and they got all access to both the Steelers and the Cowboys before Super Bowl 10. So they got to hang out with the teams. They got to talk to the players after practice in the locker room. They got to talk to the players' wives. They got to like see Bill Murray partying before the Super Bowl. It's a great, like, four-part YouTube video that if you can find it, it's amazing. But there's one clip of Ernie Holmes where they're talking to him, and Ernie Holmes is like, they got, and like, he's like, Ernie, you know, everyone says you're mean, you know, what does that mean? And he's like, you know, some days I'm pretty chill, some days I'm really angry and I want to hurt somebody, just like I could take that camera that you got in my face right now, smash it on the ground, and look at you next and smash you. And he's like, the guy's like, okay, thanks, bye. And that was it. An interview. And this is also the same man who shot shotguns at police helicopters and then still managed to play in the NFL. You gonna tell that's me that fair. Guy? That's sober too. That guy terrifies everyone. He's going to, even if we have to bring him out of jail, Ernie Holmes being here would destroy everyone. So there. Ha.
All right.
I mean he's not in the Hall of Fame. Like no. All those dudes are in the Hall of Fame and he's not. So what's that say about him, Carter?
You know what?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
But you know what?
It's almost like you're put in the Hall of Fame for being mean. You get put in the Hall of Fame for being good at football, which is what Hunter and I drafted for. And it sounds like Chris, you maybe had a different criteria.
All right. Everyone, those are our picks. I am going to, by the time you're probably hearing, well, some of you listen to this really early in the morning, so I am not going to post it that early. But by the time that you're probably looking at this in the afternoon, there's going to be a poll up on the Facebook Locked On Steelers group. You can pick who won the fantasy draft, the fantasy football draft. You can pick between myself, I won, Hunter, he lost. And Tony, he lost. Some subliminal messaging, guys. That's some professional stuff right there. I don't know what you know about it. So you can pick who won, and then whoever has the most votes when I'm going by Sunday night, when I'm recording the show for Monday, that'll be our winner of the first Fantasy Draft Friday. Fellas, thanks for doing that. That was a lot of fun. Let's start with Tony. Tony, thanks for being back on the show, man. Let people know where they can find you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find my new show on YouTube. It's called AFC North Talk. It's me, a guy from the Ravens, Browns, and Bengals. We do it bi-weekly right now during the offseason. We'll probably kick that up maybe when the season starts. But it's a lot of fun. You can find that on YouTube. Search AFC North Talk.
All right, Hunter, tell people about all the things you do and where they can find you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm all over DKPittsburghSports.com. I cover Pitt basketball and football. If football ever comes back, that would be great. I would love to cover Pitt football, so please come back soon. And Steelers, also some Pirates, a little bit of social media, a little bit of this and that. Do a little bit of everything for DK Pittsburgh Sports. So follow them, and be sure to vote for our front sevens with your brain, not with Carter's sales pitch. Thank you.
Well said.
Well, that's fair. As always, you guys know I'm Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with that, hit with the DM. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks to those who do chat with us and make up the Locked On Steelers community. Again, join that Facebook group. There's also Mock Draft Monday coming up next week. So I'll also have a post along with voting for who won today. You get to make your own Mock Draft Monday post. Go to the Draft Network, use their draft board, post, you know, do a little screenshot, post it in the comments under that post that I'll make on this Friday in the Facebook group, and you'll be entered for a chance to win and get your picks featured on Mock Draft Monday. So do that there. Also, you listen to this podcast, please, and you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all the great places. And if you have the time, please leave us a 5-star review as well as, excuse me, a positive comment. Those things really help us do the show. If you do leave such a comment, it will be featured on the show as long as it's safe for work. So for myself, Tony and Hunter, have a great weekend, everybody. Be talking at you next week.